It's 5 PM and this session of the Reedy Planning Commission regular meeting is now in session. Let me see here. Mr. Conrad, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Yes, sir.
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Moore, may we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Conrad?
Here.
Commissioner Custodio?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson?
Here.
Commissioner Lusania?
Here.
Here. Okay. This is the most fun I've had in a long time. Okay, our next business is the election of officers. And before we do that, the way we're going to handle it is we're going to open this up for a discussion. And although we don't have set rules on how and how long and so on to serve, one of the things that our staff has established is they'd like to see 1 year served before anybody can serve as a chair and the vice chair. And the way it's been working out for us with seniority, especially with new people coming on now, is that normally the vice chair would be the next person in line for that, and then we'd bring everybody up into that position. But before we go on here too, is there anyone in this diocese that would not like to serve in either one of these positions so that when we open this up for discussion, we can consider that?
Chairman, being a newbie, I think I will bow out.
You will?
Yeah.
How long have you been here, Bill?
Not even a year.
2018? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was 2018.
Really? Have you served?
I think
you
so.
Served a
yeah.
year?
A little over a year?
Yeah, 2018.
So he can stay in.
Did we have his anniversary year? His first anniversary?
But I would still like to get more under my belt before I...
Yeah, we certainly didn't recommend the year as a hard and fast rule.
Right.
Yeah, we just thought as staff that would make sense for people to become comfortable with the process and have enough time to experience enough meetings to feel.
I'd still like to be an
Absolutely.
Indian before I'm a vice chief.
And that's why we want that's why we brought that up. As
chair,
well.
How long have you been chair? Is this going to be your second time around?
This is my second year, so I will bow out so somebody else can have their turn. And then basically after that, it's pretty automatic who's going to be next unless someone leaves and comes on. But the other thing, too, I want to bring out that three of us have served as vice chair and as chair.
That's correct.
So we've all had the experience of that, and it's been great. I loved it, and I know you guys have loved it too. So, anyhow, with that, I'm going to open up and discussions for nominations or who you feel should be or questions you might have. If we can't answer them, staff will, I'm sure. So I open it up for discussion now. And what we'll do is once we've finished the discussion, we'll ask for nomination for the chair, and we'll vote on that, and then we'll go on to the nomination of the vice chair. We'll vote on that, and then commence with our regular business.
As a just a for discussion at least, is Mr. Perez, you serving a third year an option?
Well, I was talking to the staff the other day, and I told them I'm not sure I'm ready to give this up.
And as someone that has done it multiple years, you've done it multiple years. It's sometimes it's hard because you're like, wait, you like that chairman in front, and then you're like, and then you're like, hey, I get to decide, you know, I get to lead, and so you know, I wouldn't mind if you would serve again for another third year.
Oh, no, I'd like to keep the rotation going.
Okay.
So I'm asking, is it an option for you to serve a third year?
Yes, there is.
Right.
If you choose to do so for nominate me.
Right.
But I'd really like to have somebody else do it. I think that's the best way to do it. I mean,
It is. Yeah. I don't know. I like you too. The way you're at right there. No. Well, I mean, I have some obligations at work that might limit me from being here present more regularly. Like I used to be able to come almost every single time, but since I became a more of a leadership role at work, it's even coming today was very difficult to even ask for a couple hours off or an hour off. So
let me ask you this: what about as vice chair? Would you be open?
It depends who's chair, because they have to be dependable. Because as vice chair, you would have to take over as chair. So what happens after that? How about if the chair doesn't come and then the vice chair, myself?
Well, that's normal procedure anywhere.
Right. Right. So I can't come, and then what happens after that, Rob? If the chair and the vice chair can't come?
In all honesty, in rare instances that would happen, it would simply be the chair obviously saying he can't be there, asking the vice chair. The vice chair then said that they could not be there as well. Then they would ask another commissioner if they would serve temporarily in their position. We don't see that happen very often, and usually if you do have a chair and a vice chair not able to make it, you're almost always going to be struggling with a quorum at that time, and so it would typically be just foregoing that meeting.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like this, what we got going on, just for one reason, to give these folks the more experience, and then the next time around they could be, you know, vice, and Bill could be and vice, and Cena could be, I mean, there's more options there.
Yeah.
So they can feel more comfortable and see what the process is.
I agree with you, and that's why I'd like to step down and keep that cycle going, because I don't want to break the cycle.
So then that means that Ron would be the next.
Well, I would entertain that Ron be the chair and you be the VP.
That's what you have in mind, don't you?
That's what I have in mind.
Yeah, I can tell already. Well, and that's actually what the rotation was before. I was his VP for a long time, and then he stepped down and I became chair, and you became my VP, and we did that.
Exactly.
But remember, you could still nominate him if you guys are off on the same day to lead again, and he'd probably be okay with it.
Rosemary, where are you in
that? Yeah, where are you in that?
How do
you
feel? I just started this.
Well, I know you just started, but
she's the last in the totem pole in terms of seniority.
Well, yeah, but
that doesn't mean the next time we can't bring these other folks up. Because see, that would then, and the next cycle, you would go up, he would come down, and then it would be me. But I would forego the vice chair in 2 years, so one of these folks could serve. Otherwise, they won't. It'll be, you know, the cycle will be extended, and we don't want to do that. We want to drop them in at some point. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And it changes on a yearly basis.
Every 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Well, action takes place every year.
Every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, and what's been happening is like every two, we're like, okay, we've been given the rotation of every 2 years to stay as is, and then after that, you rotate.
It's amazing how quickly a year goes.
Oh, yeah, because I can't believe it's been a year already.
Unbelievable.
So.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you can last 2 years, but maybe in a year, I may consider it.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's not set in stone.
It's basically, right. I mean, it could be that, you know.
And given that you're,
because you
this
guys
your
might
first
have other
year,
things right. going on, yeah.
Given this is your first year, then, well, that opens up the door on an unsaid basis for the next year.
Well, what could happen is, since we've all served both departments, the next cycle, maybe you could drop out if you chose to.
Absolutely.
And Bill would take the vice chair by then, and then when he moves up, then bring Rosemary into it.
Offered, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we never know from day to day if we're going to be here.
Right.
But you know about that kind of profession? Are you in that kind of business? Or?
I do have a hotline.
You just never know.
Yeah, and certainly, I know you guys are aware, but just want to make sure it is reiterated. Staff is always, we do our very best to be mindful of your schedules, right?
Yes,
I think Ellen does a great job to
that.
Outreach several months in advance. If we even anticipate that something is coming up, if we know something, this is going to be a really critical month, 2 months out, 3 months out. I think Ellen's the best that there is, making sure that that's really communicated and very well coordinated. So, you know, if we did have a rare instance where a chair and a vice chair were not able to be there, unless it was some type of real critical or emergency type of situation, I think that we could even deal with that on the fly, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm. This would be, this is my 8th year, so this is it for me.
Next two years?
This year.
Right? This year?
Yeah.
Oh, so, well then that...
So next year would be, I won't be here.
Oh, okay.
We have one year to convince him otherwise.
Yeah.
That would be 8 years already. You know, I had my little Facebook remind me of when it was, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's my 8th year.
You don't look a day older.
Thank you.
You don't.
That I'd like to see you, but that would open up the right. cycle again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, and I would recommend you stay.
Well,
matter
we'll
of fact, if I need to talk to your wife.
Oh, now we're playing hardball.
Right. Boom.
That's a whole different level, right?
Yeah, it is. Exactly. Okay. Is there any other thoughts or concerns, questions for staff or anybody else? Are we good?
Ron, how are you?
I'm good with the leadership, what you're suggesting.
Okay, fine. Okay. I open up the nominations for chair. I'm here to hear your wishes.
And we do need an actual nomination second for each individual action, correct, Ellen?
That's what we discussed, yeah.
Yeah, we do a nomination and then we...
Take a vote.
Yeah,
take
and then take
vote, yeah.
yeah, take a motion and second.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so if you're nominating, you can be the first motion as well, or you don't have to.
Okay.
We just need a nomination and then we vote on it, yeah.
So may I have a nomination for chair? Okay, if nobody's going to do it, I'll do it.
I
nominate Ron Hudson
for
chair.
You know.
Have a second?
The nominee does have to accept it as well.
Right.
But he said he would. So
At this point. Yeah, I would accept that.
Okay.
No.
So
I have a second?
I second that.
Okay, we have the...
All right. First motion made by Chair Perez, and then second by Custodio. Okay. Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Luzania?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
I would abstain.
Commissioner Custodio?
yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
All
right. Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
All right.
And I think what I'm going to do at this point is I'll step down and let you finish the nomination.
There you go.
Okay. And so here you go, my friend. This used to be all my space. Now I have to move down here. I'll even take my chair with me so I don't have to
chair.
There we go. And there we go. And here, you're in my space. And actually, I don't belong here, but I'll slide down there as we get. Yeah.
Hey, I nominate you as vice. That'd be awesome. See, you're smart. Yeah.
If there's a motion in a second.
Well, I would like to, on behalf of our group here, thank you, Pete.
Thank you.
Well, it's been 2 years as chair, right?
Yes, yes.
And things have gone well, smoothly.
Yeah.
There's been no litigation.
No controversy. Yeah. You got lucky these last 2 years.
No lawsuits.
You did. Because I remember my 2 years.
No civil,
I didn't
no
sleep.
Civil litigation.
No civil disobedience.
It's
been fun.
All these extensions happened under my watch. So remember that. It was very difficult to get these passed. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Pete.
Yeah, thank you, Pete.
Thank you.
All right, the next order of business then would be the nomination and election of vice chair. And we've had some discussion to this end.
So
would anyone like to make a motion to suggest a chair, vice chair?
Chairman Hudson, I would like to nominate Commissioner Custodio.
All right, Commissioner Custodio has been nominated as a motion. Do we have a second?
Or do you accept that nomination?
I second it.
Yes.
Yep. Oh,
I accept the nomination.
With a brief hesitation. Yes.
No, I accept
it. Yeah, I'll put that in the minutes.
All right.
And so then
the motion was made by Commissioner Conrad, and then who's the second?
We would need a second.
Oh, sorry.
I did second it.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Perez seconded it?
He did second right before I even accepted it.
Before you could speak.
Yeah.
That was right.
All right.
Okay.
With that, Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Abstain.
Commissioner Luzania?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes.
All right, see, now you can move down.
Where's Pete going?
I was here once before.
Where in the world is Pete?
Are we playing musical chairs?
We are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Congratulations. Buddy.
Thank you.
See, now you
thank
are you, truly Vanna White.
All right. Mr. Custodio, do you have any comments?
Oh, my gosh.
Speech?
No. It's been a long time since I've been in this chair, so.
Seems like it, but really it wasn't.
It wasn't. It was like it wasn't. 3 years ago. So,
okay. 12 months to talk you into one more term. Okay.
I know.
And make note of that.
See what
on,
we can
the,
do.
On the minutes. Yeah.
Ron's
months.
Been here. So if this is my eighth, Ron was here already when I came on.
Yeah.
So he's been here for a while.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Let's move on to public comment. This all provides right. an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the commission's jurisdiction, which are not on the agenda this evening. Is there anyone that would like to speak in the public comment portion? Seeing no one, we'll move on to notice to public. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. Number three, minutes of the special meeting. I notice you put the word unofficial, Helen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are unofficial?
Correct. They are unofficial unless they are approved tonight, then
okay.
they will be the official minutes.
Minutes of special meeting, November the 14th, 2019. They are recommended for approval. Does anybody have any discussion about this item?
No discussion.
Hearing none. Do we have a motion? Do you want to take care of that, Ellen?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I will go ahead and motion to approve.
There is a motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Luzania?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Under administrative business, consideration of a one-year extension of time for Blossom Trail, vesting tentative subdivision map number 6129. And I'll let Ms. Ellen.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. This map, which is the Blossom Trail map, was originally approved by City Council on January 10th of 2017, and it was recommended for approval by this commission. I think that was in November of 2016 or later in the year of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we have some people who are still here to attest to that. And so it was a 68-lot subdivision located on the southwest corner of Manning Avenue and Zumwalt Avenue. And the map was attached to the packet,
yes.
But just to give another, we did have a conceptual
Whoa.
Site plan. Sorry, I'm not, we Whoa. Already, we already heard all this. But the applicant had provided this conceptual site plan at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of helps visualize what the subdivision of land was as proposed in the map. So as you can see, there's a variety of uses on this map, single family residential on the bottom left, apartments on towards the east or the right, and then there was a proposed shopping center, but it's zoned as community commercial, so it could be anything, and it's not set in stone, that design right there. It's just, again, a conceptual plan, as well as offices on the opposite side, and then a mini storage. So that was the proposed design, and then the subdivision map did reflect that that design. So all tentative subdivision maps are tentative for 2 years, so they have an expiration date of 2 years from approval, which in this case was by the city council. So originally this map did was proposed to expire on January 10th of 2019, but they did request an extension of time, and we are only allowed to give 1 year extensions each year, essentially for up to 5 years. Okay. So we can only do 5 extensions total if there isn't any activity on the map. So originally the folks that were going to develop this, they ended up leaving the project. So the property owner has been extending the map, and they did request another extension because they are continuing to market the map. So they do not have a buyer yet to develop the property, but they still want to keep the map active at this time. Because starting over would be a pretty long process. So that's understandable. And we have noticed comments that when maps are, building a subdivision can always be pretty extensive and take a while, because we did just do 2 map extensions for just single family residential in November of last year. So it is common to see extensions of maps. But this one in particular, because it has so many different uses, it is difficult to find one person that will develop all of it. The current owner does have options to maybe subdivide this for even further and sell the phases out, he needs to extend the map in order to consider those possibilities. So with that, the applicant is requesting the maximum amount of an extension that they can take, which is 1 year. So that would extend, if approved tonight, the map expiration date would extend to 1 year from today. That concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions?
Just to be clear, this would be the second extension if approved tonight. So then the max is 5 years. So they would have 3 more opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
So what happens after that 5th year if nothing happens?
After the 5th year, if nothing happens, then the map does expire.
Okay.
Yeah, so if they do want to continue it, even if it's the same design, they would have to reapply for it.
And has the owner expressed selling or subdividing or doing phases, certain things? So that is a lot. I mean,
yeah.
Those are different components there of construction and financial and company development. Has the owner expressed, doing certain parts or dividing it into that? Is that something that he...
Yeah, he has mentioned it. The owner is Todd Barsoom, by the way. It's Barsoom Brothers, the company. They have expressed doing that. When you submit a parcel map, there is still some phasing or the potential for improvements to be made on the property that are required through that. So I think that may have been where he didn't go forward with the parcel map at that time. So it's still an option, but there's still a little bit more that the property owner would have to do instead of just submitting the map on paper.
Somewhat what we did up there on Aspen and that subdivision.
Correct. Yeah, that subdivision was a little unique in that it actually was 2 parcels already. And so they actually did a lot line adjustment to match the potential phases of the map. And so they were able to sell one phase because it was a different property owner. And then they are potentially selling it to somebody else, or they could sell it to someone else. So yeah, unfortunately, in this case, it is only one lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if he's having difficulty, or if they're having difficulty trying to develop these aspects with one developer, to get it going, I would think that would be an option for...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I would assume, but I'm going to ask, with the 1 year extension, nothing has changed. Nothing is, he's not asking for any changes within that extension.
That's correct, yeah. It's just the expiration of the map. It's not, they're not requesting any changes to the layout of the lots or any of the proposed uses at this time.
All right, so what if, as he goes forward, he finds a developer for a portion of the project.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to that? What's the status then of the extension?
If he finds a developer that wants to develop it per the map or make changes?
Like you said, it's hard to find someone who'll do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to say, so if someone wants to do a portion of it,
mm-hmm.
What's the status of the...
If they wanted to do a portion of it, there's a few stipulations. If you spend enough money on public improvements, that can automatically extend the map. But the way that the expiration date works is the whole map has to be, there either has to be a final map on it or it has to be developed. So even if it's just one phase, they still have to extend the map for the remaining phases.
So it does affect the other pieces.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, and again, there is a stipulation in the Subdivision Map Act where if you spend enough money, and it's a specific category that you have to spend the money in, like if it's developing or doing public improvements off-site or something like that, then it does extend it. Other options are a development agreement of some kind as well that can extend the map, but that's not on the table at this point.
But it's a possibility then that the other portion that isn't developed, there is no extension. It comes to an end and has to start over.
Mm-hmm. Good,
yeah. That's a possibility.
It is a possibility, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is this promoting, like approving the map, promoting growth of Reedley to move eastward? Right? Wouldn't it? Because it's already in the corner and it feels like there's nothing out there other than
mm-hmm.
open ground.
Yeah, true. When the map was originally approved, I believe at the public hearing, the developer at that time wanted to start with the single family portion, which is the bottom left-hand corner. And so if they were to do that, if it's a phased map, you still have to have two points of access by road. You have to have a looped water system. So they would have had to, because on the west side of the map, that is Tobu Avenue that's supposed to be extended from Manning down and then to north where the school is. So they would have had to build that whole road essentially to get two points of access there. So the first person in does spend a lot of money, but it does kind of help encourage other people because, oh, hey, that street's already built for me. Then it might be a little bit easier for them. So, so in a way, building one phase can promote development.
And so if I recall correctly,
mm-hmm.
it's north of the school of Silas Bartsch. So
mm-hmm.
that was
Bartsch is
right
below.
So that was the intention was to put single family homes near there and then develop north. And it just
mm-hmm.
happened to be that this whole map does hit Manning.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
so Zumwalt, Manning, and okay.
Yeah, Zumwalt, Manning, and then North Avenue is at the bottom of the screen, and
yeah.
So then across the street is Silas Bartsch. Yeah.
Now, Commissioner, was your question more out of concern of like a sprawl type of development?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's that's something that the city staff is very conscious of, and we do have policies not only in our general plan but even on our municipal code that steer us toward really a focus on infill, and that's something that we put a lot of concentration on right now. We are approaching 90% capacity for infill within the city, and our goal is to always be at 80% or above. So we are well above that right now. And this is, when I say infill, I mean within the existing city limits.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, would be included within that category there because it is within the city limits. But we do work very hard to avoid annexation activities. Unless there are, limited options that make it possible for you to continue to grow in a way that provides the services and accommodations that your community needs. But yeah, absolutely something mm-hmm. that is a very big thing on our plate all the time that we're conscious of.
So do you consider this a little bit of leapfrogging, or is it okay?
Yeah, it's for its actual definition, I would not consider this to be a leapfrog development, only because of its adjacency to existing urban built-up uses around it, if not directly adjacent to where it would be, close enough to where, if you're a lot or so, you can see you have, just down the road from Thiele Technology, of course, and then bordering with the school right there on the south. And we do have, if you go just below the school and to the west of that, of course, that is the area that has been approved for the Rancho Vista development.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing the growth that is stretching out to those areas. It has to be something very unique for us to consider really jumping over that very continuous type of growth like that doesn't always mean that we will see every little thing fill in as it goes, but we always want to see uses bordering each other and certainly avoiding what are commonly referred to as county pockets, right? Which are those areas of undeveloped, particularly agricultural land in this area. So there is interest too, directly west of it right now. The property owners there have spoken to us a couple times over the last year and a half or so. They would be very interested in developing that property, but they are working with some of the additional property owners to the south of them right there, because if they would not want to annex in at the same time, of course, then that property would end up being landlocked, and that's not something that's allowed. So so continuous development is a very big priority for our community and something that you will continually hear about from staff. It's very important to us, and is something that the city has not only been mindful of and placed policies of within the general plan and within the municipal code to address it, but something that has been stuck to so well over the last 20 plus years, I would say, of planning practice in Reedley, that the County of Fresno, when we went to redo our memorandum of understanding for annexing land with them, when we went to redo that about a year and a half ago, they said, you have been so responsible with the way that you have elected to grow, in particular when compared to some other communities within the area. They felt that we'd been so responsible that they actually allowed us to reduce the amount of land that would have to be committed within a plan to a map to only 25% of the area that we are looking to annex. Hmm. And for everybody else, it's 50%. They have to have an approved or proposed map on 50% of the area that they're looking to annex. That's to control them from growing out. We've done so good at really policing ourselves on that they said, we have full confidence in you guys. We're actually going to lower that threshold for you, because historically you've shown us that you're not interested in trying to outgrow your britches, right? You're being responsible. Mm-hmm. So
I have a question. Mm-hmm. There's already a frontage road to the school. Is that part of the proposed North Avenue?
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is an existing.
Only half widen. Of it's developed.
Yeah, yes. Only half of it, so they would extend it.
Yep. Yeah, so they would have to finish the other 50%.
So that's not called 50%. North Avenue already.
I think it is.
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would just be as far as the full development of the right of way.
The other half.
Yeah. Okay. With the sidewalk and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, that's included in the map.
That clarified my question.
Sure.
The school was required to do half, and then originally they. Well, on the left side there, on the west side, you can see it's a little different shade of color than that's a covered ditch.
Oh, okay.
And
here, yeah.
Anything above it and below it is not.
Yeah.
So that would come into play for any further development.
Yeah, as Chair Hudson said, yeah, that is an open ditch here. So that was one of the conditions of this map, is to underground that.
Mm-hmm. And that's also a condition for the Rancho Vista development that's right. Just south of that.
The one below the school?
Yep.
Yeah. Or, yeah,
it's kind of kitty
it's
corner.
On this side,
yep,
yeah.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or a little bit south.
Yeah, the city, when we did the Silas Barge, that was, 15-some years ago. The city considered that a leapfrog, and so there was some. Lots of discussion and issues.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But there has been, like you said, other
around.
Stuff that
yeah.
has mm-hmm. come into play and mm-hmm. in plans.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some services like schools certainly are different as you work to make sure that you're building facilities that service the community like that. You want to place them in areas that you're not already totally grown up around, right? You want to place them in areas as growth is moving toward that direction. So,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certainly some different nuances that go into the type of land use that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Outside typically of public facilities of that nature, the city is extremely sensitive on how they're growing and making sure that it's being done in the appropriate scale and in a contiguous manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to add on that, the school was... Because this was actually an annexation of Blossom Trail, the school, and then these two properties right here to avoid the county islands or the city island scenario. So this is all in the city now.
All of
right
that.
Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the annexation of the school and this project.
In general, what is the status of the services that are there now? Is it...
As far as capacity?
Yeah.
It's actually really good. So right now the city operates at right around 50% for its sewer capacity, right? So the city had put significant efforts into making sure that their capacity at the wastewater treatment plant was going to serve the community for a very long time. So right now we're right around 50% of that. Water, same type of thing. In line with the approved general plan and the growth anticipated mm-hmm. over that general plan period, the wells that we have in service and the amount of gallons per day and gallons per minute that they meet are sufficient to allow for that growth there. So we're right in line in that area. And then, of course, storm drain is a little different. You deal with that as you're growing, and the majority of that is dealt with. If there isn't a basin that can serve the area where they're proposing to build, then they do need to accommodate the runoff storage for their project area, which is why I believe almost every residential map that we've brought forward in the last several years has an on-site basin, and that's because there is not a master basin that is in place at this time in the community that could take on any more capacity, so they're responsible to make sure that is captured and retained on-site.
So if the one we're talking about tonight were to be fully developed,
mm-hmm.
then you got the one west, south, southwest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're okay. You're comfortable.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the items that we will go through, not only on planning but in engineering, really takes the deep dive on it. With every map that comes in, they're going to look at: do we have capacity to provide these services?
Okay.
And in fact, our practice would be: we're not going to bring an item forward for your consideration with saying, hey, we're looking for you guys to approve this. We can't service it,
yeah.
but we're going to
approve it. Or
absolutely. I mean, to us, that would be completely irresponsible. So you, there'd be something pretty special about the reasoning why anything would be brought forward of that nature. I don't know if you'll ever see that from us.
Yeah,
I don't think we would.
Yep.
Any further comments, questions, statements?
It's quiet over there.
Okay. With that in mind, are there anyone like to make a motion to address resolution number 2020-1?
Open it to the public.
Oh, yes. Public. Any public comments at this time? Thank you.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
Any public comments at this time? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll move to see if there would be like to be a motion to address this. Resolution number 20201.
I make a motion, we approve.
We have a motion to approve resolution number 2020-1. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a second.
All right.
Did you catch that, Ellen?
I did, okay. Yes, thank you. Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Luzania?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes.
Right, thank you.
Thank you very much. We move on to the director's report, Mr. Terry.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairman. Appreciate it. United Health Centers is nearing their full completion. They approached us in December with an interesting conundrum that they were in. And we had worked with them over the last several weeks to be able to address that. And that was a vendor delay issue that they had on streetlights, something that typically takes 4 to 6 weeks to become available. They found out was going to take in between 12 and 18 weeks to be on site, significantly impacted their schedule. Typically, in those type of instances, it's not going to be an issue. The construction simply takes a little bit longer than it needs to. With UHC, because of the type of facility that they are, because of the financing, and because of the licensor that goes along with it, that was going to create some problems for them if they were not into the building at a certain time. And so they had approached us and talked to us about finding an area of flexibility where we could allow a certificate of occupancy to be granted, which is the final act in the construction timeline. And that is saying, you've done everything, everything has been completed, here is your final allowance to occupy this building and daily operations to be completely open. That is typically not allowed, obviously, until all of the improvements are in place and everything is done. It was a unique situation. We have traditionally been very strict on any type of occupancy regulation. There are instances where a temporary certificate of occupancy can be given, but that will even have certain items associated with it, such as you can't have general public within the building, but the staff can be there to move in furniture, to conduct training, those type of items. And you may still have a TCO is what they refer to that as, with some outstanding improvements. This one, because of the licensing and the financing issue, they actually had to have a full certificate of occupancy in hand, or it was going to create some fairly significant problems. UHC is a longstanding partner within the city. They are expanding, of course, their services with this building here. The developer had been extremely responsive and very good to work with over time. And so we sat down as staff and with our legal team, and we tried to hash out some items that we thought would allow this while still ensuring that the city was going to have all of the assurances and the legal indemnifications needed to allow for this type of activity to take place. What it really comes down to is the fact that we want our community to be a place where the development community knows this is staff that is responsive, they're customer service oriented, but they also hold our feet to the fire, right? They're gonna make sure that we do whatever we say we're going to do, but they're going to be as great to work with as possible. That can be very, very challenging for a lot of communities to do. But we really felt like we had come up with a solution that was going to work for everyone. We presented it to United Health Centers and to their developer. Everyone did agree with those items. Council actually took action this past Tuesday to enter into an extended improvement agreement with them that also included legal indemnification for the city if there were any additional accidents or items of that nature, because there were still full occupancy was allowed, but there was still some road improvements to be completed because of the streetlights that are now officially on site, did arrive yesterday, but of course they're going to take a couple weeks to get in place. So they'll have, you'll see, the building is going to look like it's fully open. People are going to be able to come and go because they do have their certificate of occupancy, but you will see traffic control up for upwards of another 3 weeks as they are completing those last few. We did ensure, of course, that all of the bonding, which is the performance insurance amounts, to cover every item that was not done yet is fully in place, expanded as appropriate. And as I said, in addition to the legal language that provided the city with additional insurance and indemnification, legal indemnification, should something go wrong in those several weeks, that it would be all on the developer and the operator of the site. So, you know, long story short, it takes a lot of confidence between the various agencies working together, and a lot of trust. But, they are a valued partner. We felt that it was an appropriate request that they made, and they made it as soon as they realized that it was going to be an issue. Anyhow, so you'll see officially they're open. So if you want, even go on site yourself and feel free to go take a walk. We toured it last week. It looks great. In particular, the dental facilities that they have inside, it's like sitting in the Cadillac chair of dental. It was just a great place. They do not yet have anyone to lease out this space for their pharmacy. They have pharmacy space inside. They have not have a pharmacist yet that they have signed a lease with. That's the only thing left. Everybody else is full with their service providers, and you guys see a lot of activity going on there in the next few weeks inside the building and, of course, adjacent to that. But I wanted to make sure that you guys understood, if you're seeing a lot of activity there and there's still those improvements, it absolutely has been addressed, and they have been great to work with, and we're just going to continue to hope that positive relationship remains in place and continues to roll forward. Any questions about that one? I know that was a lot to cover on that.
Well, I know we're not taking any action on it, but out of curiosity, how would you describe the risk that the city's taking?
You know, it's minimal for the city. Even after you give a certificate of occupancy, if there's something happening on site that's inappropriate, you can retract that and red tag the building. So worst case scenario, if something like that needed to happen, we could still do that. And then as far as the risk to the city, that was the reason why we got with our legal team and hashed out that defense and indemnity language. That to me was the biggest thing. Okay. If you have full occupancy on a building and you still have traffic control up associated with the development of that site, and there is some type of trip and fall or some type of accident that happens because of something within the traffic control or lack there within, the city could be in a bad position if they did not have that full indemnification in place. And so we really we put a lot of effort and concentration into that to ensure that we were going to be covered. Obviously, the hope is the several weeks go, everything gets put in place, and it never really needed to be a big issue. But boy, if an accident did ever happen and you didn't have language in place, you could have a problem.
Okay, thank you.
Good job. Good job. And you know what? For many years, Reedley didn't have that kind of customer service. Mm-hmm. Everybody always grinned at Sanger being the good guys, and Reedley was the bad guys. Now it's the other way around.
That's good. I'm glad we flipped that script.
Yeah.
I hope we can keep it that way. Reedley's a great place, and I've, since the very first day that I came here, it really is a hidden gem to a lot of people. So while we always want to make sure that it maintains that very hidden gem type of uniqueness and special aura about it, we also want to make sure that we're growing and providing services to the community. That's really what it's about. So thank you very much. I'd also like to point out that all the approved maps that we have been working on so hard over the last several years and beyond, they're all moving forward, whether it's just like an extension that we met with earlier, or if they are working on final maps already submitted and actually pulling permits, we're actually starting to see development taking place, in particular in single-family residential, which is something over the last 10 years, the city of Reedley has averaged 4 single-family permits a year. Mm-hmm. On December 30th and December 31st, between those 2 days, we had 84 single-family permit applications submitted, right? So obviously a huge difference. In 2 days, we're seeing that now. That was a little unique, and the reason why we saw that was because January 1 of 2020, the new 2019 building code went into effect, and if you didn't have a permit application submitted by December 31, you now had to be held to the 2019 code as opposed to the 2016, and there were some pretty significant changes there. So certainly that's not something that we're going to see every single day, but that does absolutely show that these projects are moving forward. And that wasn't just one project heading in a ton. That was actually a mix between 3 different projects that we're all seeing. Almond Grove, which is now final mapped into its phase 2, finishing up construction on phase 1 and actively working on their phase 2 items, permit applications in. Self-Help Enterprises, which will be getting ready to break ground here anytime soon, and is finishing up their final map in order to do that. So soon you guys will see that go before council, final map and a subdivision improvement agreement. And then Monta Vista, which, as we all know, back in the mid-2000s, was just right on the cusp of starting to build, had their model home up, and then the bottom fell out of the economy at that time, and has now been picked up by a local developer. Similar, I think, to the situation with UHC, there was a lot of conversations that the city was willing to have to address what has just been a long-standing pockmark. Let's go ahead and get it taken care of. So we came to agreement with that local developer there about a lot of things that that we would allow them to do in some different ways than had originally been approved, but would still provide what the community had expected from that map. Little unique because it was already a final map, mm-hmm. right? We'll see that one building, that 16 units there. And that's going to make a big difference because that Buttonwillow and Manning area is very visible.
What's the physical location of that one?
So it's Myrtle and Buttonwillow, just south of Manning on Buttonwillow Avenue.
Yeah, across from the ECU, where that house...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can see it right there.
Yeah, right there.
And, oddly enough, it's so interesting to me. I have to give a shout-out to our fire department. And in particular, there was several guys that were employees at that time that are no longer with us, and I wish I could reach out and give them a handshake for what they did. So that building on the corner on the outside looks awful. I mean, it looks like your true abandoned home. It looks absolutely terrible. When that development first went south, of course, you started having people potentially squatting inside the home and a lot of concerns there. So our fire department, for health and safety, went in and what they call buttoning up, right? They sealed up that home. No one had been inside of it for 10 years. No one had cracked it open and walked inside of it for a 10-year period, not even the property owner, who was one of the four original partners, bought out the rest of the guys. He hadn't even gone inside of it. When they finally peeled open the area to walk in, the new owner now, Mr. Efren Yanez, who's the developer on the property, and the property owner and a couple city representatives, we fully anticipated that the inside was going to look much like the outside did, and that was this building is going to have to be torn down. It looks like a current new build on the inside. It is unbelievable. The pictures, I'll have to get them from our building official and show them to you guys. It blew my mind. It literally looked like a home that's in the middle of a build. So the job that they did to secure that home literally saved that home. And the outside looks really bad just because of what's called a scratch coat. That's right before they put the stucco on. All they have to do is just tear that stuff off, put new stuff on, and they're going to be able to save the entire home that was there. It's just a phenomenal job. So to me, that's just one more area to show when you have people that really care about what they're doing, they care about their community, that's the type of difference that it can make. So I'm very excited to see that project move forward. I know our council is very, very excited to see that. So that's just going to be a great thing. And we'll see that happen pretty quick, too, because that map, they're already 16 final lots. They're already legal lots of record. So it was just really figuring out how we were going to deal with the partially completed infrastructure that was under the ground and how we could work together with the developer in the city to get everything up to snuff and going and hit the ground running and make that work. And we finally were able to get there. So that's going to be a good thing. All that said, we have about either under construction or still approved right around 700 single-family units right now. And we're already seeing, as I had stated, right about 100 to 115 either actively under construction or permits submitted. So we're finally seeing that activity moving forward. For Frankwood and South, or Frankwood Commons is the actual name of that project, as you guys know, it's been a while since we had had any discussions on that one. That is because that project at the northeast corner of Frankwood and South Avenues, which is just outside of our city limits and also just outside of our sphere of influence, requires so many outside agency approvals in order to move to the next step. We've been slowly chipping away at those items. Finally, the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission, which is the commission that oversees sphere of influence boundaries and city annexations, LAFCO, they have finally given us a tentative hearing month now, that is May. That they anticipate that they will have what's called their municipal service review completed, which covers the entire community. Once they go through that and have that updated and approved for the city of Reedley, then they take action on the sphere of influence and on annexation. Typically when that's done, it's going to be spread over a 2 or a 3 month period. Because we have been very, so where do we want to use there, Alan? Helpful, I think. We have communicated with them a lot, but have tried very hard to take as much of their process and assist them with it as possible because of the limitations of their staff. They felt that they were so well prepared with their MSR that they're willing to take to their board the municipal service review, the sphere of influence expansion, and the annexation activity all in the same meeting, which is extremely rare. But they felt that they were ready to do that. They said May and potentially even earlier if they're able to get some reviews that they have done on their side earlier. So you guys should see that somewhere in the next year as well, actually dirt starting to turn in that area after
what,
the annexation.
What corner again?
So it's on the northeast corner of Frankwood and South.
Okay.
Yeah, so it
there's
is.
There's an orchard right now.
It is, yep. And you might see somewhere in the next few weeks too them starting to pull the trees there.
Oh,
the current property owner, of course, they have the absolute right to do things like that on site if they choose. And because they're anticipating that they're not going to go through one more grow season before they start doing public improvements, they had reached out to us last week and said, can we actually remove trees? And of course we'd said, as the property owner, you have the right to do that on your property. We always make sure you reach out to the county, any permits with the air district, all of that, right? But technically it's not within our jurisdiction right now.
Mm-hmm.
To ensure that we are continually,
right there.
40 acres right there.
Yeah.
To ensure that we are continually doing all we can to make sure that time is not being wasted. We are working with them to do a bunch of what we call pre-review or pre-application type of processes. So items, even though we can't take official action on something like a final map or subdivision improvement agreement, because it's not technically within our city limits yet, we don't have jurisdiction, we can prepare all of those items and have them 99% done. We can even take it as far as taking a final map to council and asking council to approve acceptance of that final map, all contingent upon the approval of an annexation. Then what that does is that removes the having to hurry up and wait, if that makes sense. So they're waiting for LAFCO to take action, and then as soon as LAFCO acts, now we have 6 months of, you know, local, more local actions to take. What we're doing is we're saying, let's take advantage of the time that LAFCO is taking and do everything that we can to really tee you guys up and make sure that that it's not just one roadblock after another. So we've been working with them very closely on that one. I fully anticipate that within the next 6 to 8 months is when you guys should see dirt actually turning there and them starting to pull permits is the goal that we have for that one.
Single family, you said?
What's that?
That single family?
So it is a single family, and then it has a small, Ellen, can you zoom in on that one a little? You can see just down at the bottom left corner of that 40-acre area.
It's commercial.
There's some neighborhood commercial there. Yep. Yeah, but the majority of that is single-family residential. And the lot sizes range from 6 to, I believe, just over 10,000 square feet.
Something like that, yeah.
Yep, so about 184 lots total?
I think it's 150.
Okay. It's good size. It's a 40-acre development, so yeah, good size there. Then aside from that, we are still working on the farmland preservation program. As the surveys continue to come in, we are seeing really good consistency amongst what the answers are that the community feels is that we're taking an action that they see as appropriate and needed and at the right scale that they would like to see as well. So that's a very good item. In the next 2 or 3 months, you should expect to see a draft of that plan coming back before the Planning Commission for you guys to be able to weigh in on and make recommendations to the City Council. We continue to do some public outreach on that one. I think the one that I'm most excited about for that public outreach is we right now are working with Gene Myers at Emanuel High School, who is nationally, multiple national awards for her engagement in FFA. So you've got a bunch of students there that are now national award winners. She, of course, is on the educational level, multiple award winner at the national level. So we're working with her now to engage the students into the Farmland Preservation Program. And, okay, you guys are the future of farming. What are the type of things that you feel are important? What are the type of ways that you want to be engaged? And what are the type of programs that make sense to you? Or, you know, what are the type of things about a preservation program that you might not understand? Do you know what an easement is? Do you know how that would work? How would that impact your farming? All of that. So we're really excited to team up with the students there. And Gene and I are even going to be working on an item, hopefully, where even some of the FFA students will be able to help in the presentations that are going to be given to the Planning Commission and or City Council as well, which I think will be very, very well received to show that the next generation is also invested in the planning discussions that we're having. So I know that's a lot of stuff, but the fact is, guys, over the last several years, we've worked on a lot of projects, mm-hmm. and a lot of things are coming to fruition now. And I know I've said it a bunch of times, to me that is all because the greatest staff in the world sits right here with Ellen, with Caitlin and Gary in the Community Development Department. We have amazing planning commissioners that have vision and that understand. You guys are here, you're engaged, you understand the process, you ask great questions, and we have a city council that is supportive of staff and puts confidence in staff to bring them quality items that are vetted and are in line with what the community wants to see. So I know I feel extremely blessed to be here, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to give you guys that update and to share a lot of the good things that continue to roll forward.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Good report.
Thank you.
You guys are doing an awesome job.
Absolutely.
I taught you guys well.
That's right.
All right. That's the director's report. Any comments to that? Questions of Mr. Terry or Ellen? Okay. I would ask Ellen to talk about the future agenda items.
Sure can. So right now, both Rob and myself will not be present on February 6th at 5 o'clock. So we don't have any items at this time, but it is 99% likely that one will be canceled, February 6th. February 20th, I don't anticipate having something at that time. It is possible that we may get a conditional use permit, but we are cutting it pretty close. But March 5th, we will have the annual progress report for the general plan and housing element be presented to the Planning Commission. That is due on April 1st, and it does also go to council. So it could be the 5th or the 20th, but we'll shoot for the 5th. So yeah, this is kind of what's anticipated right now, but definitely not a meeting on February 6th. But yeah, it does kind of just depend on if we get any applications that we can turn around fairly quickly here. Okay. And if there's any scheduling conflicts that the commission knows about now, if they want to say, that's fine. But yeah, otherwise I'll keep you posted by email.
Anyone have any conflicts for possibly February 20th?
Yes.
Conflict?
Yes.
Yes.
February
20. Okay.
Anybody else? How about March the 5th? No conflict. Okay.
I could create one if you want. No conflict.
All right.
Thank you.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
All right. I agree with that.
Okay, I'll make the motion to adjourn. Second? Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Do we have a second?
All right.
All in favor, say aye.
Yeah.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Dabble, dabble.
Thank you.